Archdiocese of Chicago will bring you programs about the people, the issues, and the faith that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. This is Deacon John with the Black Catholic Initiative. And boy, am I excited this morning. I tell you, I just returned back from the Black Catholic Congress in Orlando, Florida. And I'm telling you, what a wonderful time that I had. In fact, it probably was the most spiritual experience. And it wasn't the most It wasn't the best spiritual experience, but boy, it sure beats so many other things that I've had. It was an awesome, awesome Congress. For those of you who don't know, it happens every 5 years. And this year in Orlando, they just had the best speakers that I've ever heard. I mean, it was awesome. So if you went to the Congress and you are interested in just sharing your thoughts real quickly, because I am going to bring our guest on shortly, and that's Dawn Valente. Please call me, 312-255-8408, and share with us your experience and how you felt about that. In the meantime, we have Dawn on the phone. Dawn, how are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm fine, thank you.
Good, Dawn. Thank you for joining us. You know, we had, as you know, scheduled initially Andrew Holmes, who works with the Chicago Survivors, or volunteers, I should say. I believe that's what it is.
No, we're paid staff.
Oh, you are paid staff. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, as much work as you guys do, you should get something, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Don, why don't you explain to our audience what you do and tell us a little bit about the background?
So I am one of four crisis responders with Chicago Citizens for Change, and the program that we work under is called Chicago Survivors. And what we do is we assist families in the aftermath of a homicide. So we walk families through what happens next. Where do I go? When do I go? How do I do it? Where do I go to do it? I'm usually with a family for the first 24 to 48 hours. And then we have about 10 family support specialists. And those family support specialists have the family for the next 6 months. And that's walking them through traumatic grief counseling, talking to them about PTSD, children that are left behind, siblings that are left behind. We service them as well. We go to court with them. If somebody's in custody, we do flyer distributions in the area with the approval of the Chicago Police Department. And just to back up a little bit, we are the only organization in the city of Chicago that gets called out from the Chicago Police Department anytime there's a homicide. So we're only in Chicago, we're citywide, so we're either called to the scene where the person to the hospital, if that's where the victim has been taken, and we basically advocate for the family and help them through the familiar journey and the protocol and procedures in the city, state, and county they're not familiar with.
So, Don, excuse me, what you do is a definite ministry, you know, the way I'm sure a lot of people would look at it. Andrew Holmes is one that, you know, you probably see him or we've seen him on television more than any individual. But you're no slacker in that regard. I mean, it's one or the other. It appears you or him that are on the news consistently, you know, talking about the effects of violence and describing to the audience, you know, what your work is. Tell me, how did this start?
So this organization was started by Joy McCormick. Joy McCormick was the mother of Frankie Valencia. Frankie Valencia was a 21-year-old DePaul student, DePaul University student, and he went to a party in Humboldt Park in 2009. And the only girl that invited him, it was a mansion. It was rented by college kids. Some gang members came, and they were asked to leave because it wasn't their kind of party. And they left, and they came back with an assault weapon, and they shot the party up, and they killed her son. Now, she went through two trials, the person who supplied the gun and the person who actually did the shooting. And then after that, she started this organization to make families because she didn't know about the medical examiner's office, crime victims compensation, which helps pay for funeral and burial, the whole court system, everything she kind of went through on her own. And she knew that she didn't want anybody to ever have to face this alone. And so her and her partner actually started this organization.
Wow, that is really beautiful. I remember that incident too, like it was yesterday. And so, yeah. Don, what we're going to do, we're going to join you again. We started a little late, so we're going to take a break here shortly, and we're going to return in just a moment, okay?
Okay.
The next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago. We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago, featuring a conversation with Archbishop Blaise Zupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll take you to Holy Name Cathedral for the ordination of six priests for the Archdiocese of Chicago. We'll revisit the Good Friday Walk for Peace and talk with Cardinal Zupich about anti-violence efforts in the city. And we'll show you the important work being done by the Archdiocese of Chicago's Immigration Ministry.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday at 3 p.m. on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
Okay, Don, we're back, and we were talking about the effects of the Valencia crime that occurred and how what you do all got started. Was that one of your most memorable experiences? That in itself you weren't a part of, but what kind of experiences have you had that it really stuck with you?
There's a couple. I actually started this on my own. I had my own non-for-profit organization in the city of Chicago called United for a Cause. And, excuse me, my very first case was 13-year-old Shauna Gayden. She was on the northwest side of Chicago when she was shot and killed. And that was my first time actually going through a whole trial and everything. And I'm still friends with her mother to this day. But after her was 8-year-old Maya Lyons. Maya Lyons was actually killed by her father. He was arrested 2.5 years later. And I remember standing in the courtroom, well, outside the courtroom with her grandfather. And her grandfather said to me, "Don, how do you do this work?" He said, "You know what, before you answer that, I just want to tell you, if my family hasn't told you, I want to tell you that I love you. We appreciate you. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't know how to navigate any of these systems." And I said, "You know what?" I said, "You just answered your question." I said, "That is how I'm able to do this work. Me being able to tell people what's going to happen next and being able to reach out to people for them and them not knowing, me being able to do that, that's what it makes, I don't know if I should say makes my spirit sing, but that's what helps me, knowing that I'm able to help somebody get some type of closure or know what to expect next."
And Don, you know, speaking of your spirit singing, you are Catholic, right?
I am, yes.
Yes,
I am Catholic.
And so you and I have had, you know, different experiences, but we met some time ago, I recall, and I believe this was with another group. This group was with Mothers Who Have Lost a Child, I believe. And
actually, I met you through Ron Hope.
Oh yeah, It was at his son's memorial birthday party, Blair Holt.
Yes.
Right. That's when we first met. And of course, for the audience, if you don't know Blair Holt, Blair obviously is the face of the Chicago violence. It actually started with him when he was killed on a CTA bus protecting one of his friends, a young lady whom he shielded. And he was shot as a result and died. And Ron Holt, of course, is with the Chicago police. And Ron, you know, has been now sent on a mission to do this kind of work himself as a result of his son's death. And Ron and I, Don, we went to college together.
Yeah, I knew that. Well, I didn't know it, but I knew back then.
Yeah. So what do you see in your work as, you know, some of your challenges, some of these challenges that you might have?
You know, right now, today, some of the challenges that, and I'm not sure if this is what you're talking about, but I want to tell you what my challenge is. Social media and children at a crime scene. I mean, being at a crime scene, I see so many people just walking up, video recording, snapping pictures, you know, and I'm like, you know, I hope you're not going to put that on Facebook. People who don't even know the victim and, you know, or somebody saying, you know, check on your loved ones. No, you know, people think they're doing people a favor by putting, you know, a deceased person laying in the street or in the car and saying, check on your loved ones, but they're not giving any thought to where is that loved one? Are they at work? Are they somewhere safe? You know, and then watching people bring children to a crime scene, they're standing there and they're looking at this body and they're looking at, you know, the police going through the pockets of this person who's there, you know, and they got their kids with them. And that's really a challenge for me because I don't understand why people don't get that children understand, but they don't understand. But they know that's a dead body down there. Why would you bring your children here?
Amen. And Don, you hit it for me. I mean, I never thought that you would respond and say that would be one of your greatest challenges. But social media and the things that we put on social media, or people who do this and how they deem it, you know, beneficial. And
yes.
When you, I've seen probably two of these pictures or videos that show a human lying there dead or in the process of being killed. And it just tears my heart. It rips my heart away. And I don't know why we as the human race, how we find that beneficial for others or how we even can stomach doing something like that, thinking we're helping other people. It just gets me.
Yeah. So imagine how you feel as a stranger seeing that. Now you got a parent. I can't tell you how many times I get to the crime scene and the family is already there. And I'm like, well, ma'am, how'd you find out that, you know, that was your son? Or social media. Somebody saw it on social media and called me. Where were you at? I was at work. Wow.
Yeah.
So you work and see, people don't give that any thought. I mean, I don't get it either.
You know, to some degree, you know, that's a good thing, social media, because it may not be any other way. As you said, if a police officer is going through a child's pocket and they have no identification, well, then that becomes a good medium to reach the person. But, you know, to have to broadcast it in the way that it's broadcast, like, you know, what I recall and what makes me think of this is those two young kids who evidently went into a liquor store to rob it. And they ended up getting shot and killed in that liquor store. And they showed on this social media page these kids lying there in the liquor store dead.
Yeah, that was over on 87th.
Right, in a pool of blood,
yeah.
You know. And it has become sort of numbing now with as often as you see this stuff out there. You know, it numbs you a little bit. So, that scares me a little bit.
Yeah. Well, there's something that's called compassionate death notification, and that should always be done. And people are not allowing the police to do that compassionate death notification because they're posting that on Facebook. I mean, I saw that too. And I'm like, you know, is that really how a parent or sibling would want to see their loved one, would want to know that, you know, they've been killed by laying in a pool of blood? That's the worst thing. You know, those are memories. Sometimes when I get to the hospital or I'm even out on the scene and people are like, can you let me see my loved one? You know, and the police are like, I'm sorry. You know, we can't. This is one of the things that we talk to about families too. And it's very important why we get out to a scene. Like, why has my loved one been out there for 2 hours? Why is he in the car? Why is she in the car? Why is she in the street? Why is he in the street? And that's because people don't understand that is a crime scene. And there's so much on these crime scenes that unless you've been to a trial and see what is actually collected, you wouldn't know that those 2 hours were spent collecting that cigarette butt, that candy wrapper, looking at video, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, people also, you know, they might get to a crime scene and they might say, you know, why don't you call the ambulance? They don't understand the ambulance is not coming because they've already been pronounced.
So, Don, tell me, you know, if I was in your position, and I wouldn't be because I don't think I could take it, I couldn't stomach it. How do you protect yourself from these scenes that you see over and over again?
We have the briefing. We have the briefing. We have somebody that we talk to who's, you know, available 24/7. And we also do talk. We talk to each other. And that's always best to talk to each other because even though we do the briefing, that person is not out there in the streets with us. You know, so we talk amongst each other. I actually used to watch a lot of the crime shows, First 48 Hours, Snap, Forensic Files, and I've stopped watching them because I'm like, I already see this on the street. I don't want to go home and watch it. So now I'm watching cooking shows or, you know, something, you know, that's not violent. You know, I had to disconnect from that because, I mean, I've always watch those kinds of shows, but when you see it all the time, yeah, you know, you go home. That's not what you want to watch on TV. So,
amen.
I mean, we do have the briefing.
Don, we're going to take another break here in just a second, and we're going to talk to you and just ask you a few more questions.
Okay.
You have the words of everlasting. Hello, this is Pat McCaskey. Catholic Charities and the Chicago Bears have been neighbors for nearly 100 years. We always admire courage, character, and perseverance. Who better fosters those virtues among our most vulnerable neighbors than Catholic Charities? Congratulations to Chicago's Good Samaritan for 100 years of providing help and hope. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
So, Don, one of the things that you mentioned is that you get debriefed, I guess, after these crime scenes or experiences, or maybe, you know, there's a ritual that you do yourself that sets your day off. How does your faith, in other words, play a role in what you do?
Well, I tell you what, if I didn't have a faith, I probably wouldn't be able to do this work, you know. Every day, every morning, you know, I there's times when I'm walking away from a scene and I'm getting in the car and I'm praying because that scene was a little bit too much for me. And, you know, I know for a fact if I didn't have a faith that I wouldn't be able to do this work. You know, there's got to be a God. I mean, I have people that tell me I'm an angel. They're like, you're such an angel. I just left somebody just now who was like, you know, thank God for you. And you know what? She's right. People ask me how I'm able to do this work. I'm like, it's not me, it's God. This was where he put me. I didn't put myself here. He put me here. This is what he wanted me to do.
Amen. Who would ask for something like what you do, Don? Who would ask for that?
Nobody.
You're on call like 24 hours a day, right?
Well, no, I'm on call, and I'm on call. My shift is 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay.
So like I said, there's four of us. So Andrew, myself, Noemi Martinez and Michael Simmons. So Michael Simmons and I work the same days. He works nights and I work during the day. So I'm 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. He's 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. And then Noemi and Andrew are on the same day and night.
And, you know, you just remarked, too, that, you know, some people see you as an angel, and I can clearly see that. That's easy for me to digest because you help people in so many ways. You have such a big heart. But there are times, too, where people, you know, misconstrue things and they look at you as if you are something else. And I recall this situation that happened not too long ago where the security guard, a young lady, was hit by a guy that was, he was a monster. I mean, he was looked like a big football player and he hit her.
Yeah.
And I think there was a remark that you may have made that was, I guess, misinterpreted or whatever. And you had people calling you and sending death threats and so forth.
Yeah. You know, and that's exactly what it was. That was a perfect example of how the media took what they wanted to use and they posted it. And I had never, ever, ever been attacked like that. I was being attacked in all angles, but the people who were attacking me were young people, the people who don't know me. The calls and the text messages that I received were like I was like, wow. I mean, I you know, some of the younger activists called me and was like, Don, I got your back. What you need me to do? We need to do this. Even one of the reporters was, Don, I can have somebody. No, I'm just leaving it alone. Just leave it alone, because those are people who obviously don't know me, don't know my passion. I mean, it became, you know, racial.
It
and,
did.
You know, people don't know, and I'm going to share this with you, that I am, my father's Puerto Rican, my mother's Polish, so I'm mixed race. I also raised an African American young man from the. He wasn't biologically mine. He was physically mine. I raised him from the time he took his first breath up until he was 14 years old. He's now a soldier in the United States Army. So people don't know me and they don't know my passion. They know absolutely nothing about me. So the things that were being said, you know, were uncalled for, were not true, and you know, I just. You know, I had to just kind of digest what they were saying, knowing that that's not me. But the people who knew me or know me, who trust me, who believe in me, they supported me in everything that, you know, that I did. I didn't, you know, comment on anything that anybody was saying on those posts on social media, Twitter, and all that other stuff.
Yeah, it really got ugly. And, you know, I was one of those, if you recall, who said, "Don, I got your back. I'm there. You know,
yeah,
call me if you need me." You know, Deacon John loves the Lord, and he considers himself to be a nonviolent person. But there are times when the guy comes out before Deacon was Deacon. And I just wanted to build, a wall for you if it had to be done that day and let you know that you had support out there. So,
yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. But we've moved past that. And that was a learning experience that will never happen again. And I don't talk to the media a lot. Like, if you see me talking to the media, it's because I really need to be talking to the media. I really have. You know, we're looking for somebody. We need an arrest made in this case. We want the public to know what happened to this person. That's normally, you know, when I'm in the media. I don't, you know, they call me all the time, you know, for certain things. And I'm like, nah, you know, I'm not talking. The family's not talking. Because really, I represent the family when I'm talking.
Right. And so tell me, how can our listeners get behind you and help you in any kind of way? What examples of things can we do, or what advice do you have for those who are listening who can help you in your work?
Well, you know, there's a couple things. I always want people to understand that what's happening in this city is not always gang related. People talk about, when you hear in the media, you know, this person was in a gang or this was gang related. And what happens is, when you got a shooter who's in a gang, you've got an innocent victim who was not in the gang, it automatically becomes gang related because that shooter is in the gang. So I need people to understand that, you know, it's not always gang related, and not everybody is involved in, you know, gangs or drugs. And one thing I've learned, and I want to share with your listeners, is that even though these people are into those kind of lives, their grief is just as hard as the innocent person, because somebody loves these people. Somebody loves them. And, you know, I think it's important. A hug will go a long way. You know, we've got kids out here that are on the street, that are on loss, that are lost. And, of course, they do turn, those that turn to the gangs for that love and that guidance and that new pair of gym shoes. But I think if people take the time out to talk to them and have just a good old-fashioned regular conversation with them and just ask them, "Can I give you a hug?" I have a friend who was Street Corner Resources in Harlem, New York. That's what she's like, "Don, I get out of the car when I see him standing on the corner, the young brothers, I have a conversation with them and I give them a hug." And that's important. You know, don't throw these kids away. This generation, 25 and under, is the generation that are shooting and the generation that are dying. It's the younger generation. It's not the older generation. And so we can't just dismiss them and think that they're not worth anything. That is the very reason why they do what they do, because they think they're not worth anything. So we have to help them understand that, you know, they can be loved. And there's not, if you listen, anything you put your mind to, you put that idea in your mind and you plant that feeling in your heart and you make that happen. And so we can't throw away this generation. We have to show love.
Don, boy, those words are prophetic, because that's absolutely the way to do it. But how do you do it with the epidemic rate at which murders are occurring? You know, that's,
come outside the church.
Well, how about
go
ahead, tell it. Not
come
only
on, no, seriously.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But it's not only come outside of the church, Don. It's put that phone down, right? It's open those blinds.
Human interaction.
It's open those blinds. Look outside of your window. Why don't you just come outside your house? You know, and talk to these kids. You know, we fear each other so much these days. And the other thing is that we don't communicate well because we're so tied to our telephones and texting and all this other stuff. But we're nonverbal now. We don't give eye contact. It's Don, looks like we're running out of time, but here's what I want to do. I just want to pray for you, and I want to pray for all the workers who are working on the outside with you, and just ask God that he continues to bless you, that he provides a safe net for you and your workers, and just give you peace, and may you continually strive and find joy and love in your heart so that you might spread it to others. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Let the church say, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Love you, Don. Have a great day.
Okay, thank you. You as well. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Ever think of donating your car? You can donate a car that you no longer need to Catholic Charities. The donation will help needy people throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Donating your car is easy. Call us at 877-786-GIVE from anywhere in the country. That's 877-786-4483. Pickup is free. We do the paperwork and you get a tax deduction. Catholic Charities accepts cars, trucks, vans, motorcycles, or boats in almost any condition. No need to pay hefty repair bills. Avoid the hassle of selling. Calls taken 7 days a week at 877-786-GIVE. That's 877-786-4483. Or go online to CatholicCharities.net.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 44 Archdiocese of Chicago Catholic cemeteries willing to help you in your time of loss. Call 708-449-6100 or visit CatholicCemeteriesChicago.org. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Relevant Radio, 950 AM and 930 AM. Talk radio for Catholic life. Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that touch our lives. Thanks for staying with us here.